The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
For contract and iska, draft and review, wills and estates, or other halachic services, please call 1-888-485-8223 or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Someone who eats truma b'shogeg and pays, at the time that he pays, the truma is worth a different amount than it was worth at the time that he ate it. How much does he pay? If he mida m'shalim, that quantity of truma, whatever it's worth now at the current price, olafi dami m'shalim, whatever the value of the truma was at the time that he ate it. Kalei chadmei kara shavya arba zuzil b'sov shavya zuza. If the price of truma has dropped, it was originally worth 4 and now it's only worth 1, lo tibaylach. There's no question. The answer is obvious. Devadai kidmei kara m'shalim. He certainly paid the amount that the truma was worth originally, i.e. 4 zuzi. Why? Dlagar migazlan. Because this person who ate the truma is not worse than a gazlan. Regular din and chashim mishpat. Ditnan. The rule is, kol ha-gazlanim m'shalim k'shas ha-gzela. All gazlanim, all thieves, pay what the item they stole was worth at the time that they stole it. Now, in this case, certainly, this rule of kol ha-gazlanim is a chumra for the gazlan. He has to pay the greater amount that the truma was worth originally, rather than the lesser amount that the truma is worth now, the food that he ate is worth now. However, elsewhere in Shas, this rule, which appears in a number of other contexts, actually often appears as a kula for the gazlan, that the gazlan benefits, chote niskar, the gazlan benefits due to this rule of kol ha-gazlanim m'shalim k'shas ha-gzela. Bava Kama, the beginning of Perek HaGozel Eitzim, the Mishnah says, HaGozel Eitzim v'ason kelim tzemer v'ason begodim m'shalim k'shas ha-gzela, a thief who fashioned wood into kelim, made the wool into clothes, pays k'shas ha-gzela. Gozal Paramu Beres, he stole a cow that was pregnant, the Yalda, and he gave birth, Rachel Tuna of the Gozaza, a sheep that was laden with wool, and he shore it. Mishalans may Paro Medes Leled, may Rachel Medes Ligazes, he only pays the original amount that the Paro was worth, not the greater amount that we have now, the Paro plus the Vlad, or the Rachel plus the Giza. Also, Gozal Paro Venisabra Etzlo, the Yalda, he stole a para that was the para was not yet pregnant. It became pregnant while in the custody of the gazlan. Then it gave birth. Same thing, Rachel, he stole a sheep that was not yet bearing wool. Benitana etzlo, it grew wool. Begazazan, he shore it. Mishalim kishas gzela, he only pays the original amount, and the excess value of the wool and the vlad he keeps. Zehaklal, again, kol gazlan mishalim kishas gzela. This Mishnah, the dinim therein are complicated. Depends on Shinui Kona or not, and Yeyush or not. We're not going to enter into these dinin in this lecture. We will focus on cases the Gemara brings while discussing this Mishnah several daf later. Hahu Gavra de Gozal Padna de Torah Mechavre. Someone stole oxen from someone else. Karabu Karva. He used the oxen to plow. He benefited economically from them. Zarabu Zara. He planted using them. Lasof Adrinal Lamare. Eventually he returned the oxen. Asla Kamedra of Nachman, Rav Nachman was the Dayan. Amar Lahu, Zilu Shom Mushivcha Da'ashba. Don't just pay the value of the oxen, don't just give back the oxen. You owe additionally for the value that you earned, the Shvach, the revenue that you generated by doing the plowing. So the Mara discusses this back and forth. The Mara asks, Sov, Gzeluhu, Vikahadra Be'ena, Diznan, Kol HaGzlan Mashal Mekashas Gzela. It mentions our rule of kol ha-gazlan m'shalim k'shas ha-gzela as it appears in the Mishnah as a kula for the gazlan, not like in our sugyim psachim, and says, why is the gazlan being held liable for the revenue that he generated? That's not shas ha-gzela. So he answered, basically, you're right. He told him, don't argue with me, don't start up with me, I'm an expert dayan, but the answer was, it was a knas. He was a gazlan atika, he was an inveterate recidivist gazlan, bina d'iknese, he was a knas, but mikra din, that is the clear ruling of the Gemara, Meikra Din, the gazlan is not held liable for any profit, for any revenue he generated using the stolen property. He simply returns the stolen property or pays the value that it was worth at the time of the theft, and he is not responsible for any profit or revenue he generated using that property. The Gemara makes this point again. On the next daf, the Gemara brings a din, Hatokef Abdu Shalchavera V'asuba Malacha. If someone seizes without permission the slave of someone else and does work with it, potter. So here the Gemara says it actually depends. It depends on a machlokes, a famous machlokes all over Shas, whether avdu kemekarki or avdu kemetaltli. If we say avdu kemekarki dami, then we say he should be chayav because reshut in the marikai. The famous rule that karka ain't an exelus. Dina exela do not apply to karka, so we say brishute demare kai, and we don't have the rule of kol gevlo mashal mekashas exela, and therefore he is responsible for the revenue. But if avdikim etaltli dummy, then he's potter. The Gemara goes on, and later the Gemara brings a discussion about someone who is tokif spinato shel chavero. He seizes and utilizes a ship belonging to someone else. Vasa b'malacha. Amar Rav, ratza schara notel, ratza pichsa notel. Rav said he is liable for the schar. Shmuel said, "Ain't a note to pichta." He's not liable for the schar. The discussion about pchas is beyond the scope of this lecture. Amar Papa lo pligi hadavi dilagra hadalavi dilagra. It's not a machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. It depends whether this fina was able to be used, was going to be rented out otherwise, or was just idle. Ibayisema hava hadavi dilagra. We're talking about a fina which is productively employed before the Gazan came along. Hadinachis le'adaita da'agra hadinachis le'adaita da'gazanusa. This point particularly is Lamaskana, is brought by all the Poskim, that it depends. We basically paskin like Rav, that he is liable for Schar, but it depends on whether it was a Daita de'agra, whether he took the Sfina intending to pay rent for it, or a Daita de'gazanusa, intending to steal it. If he intended to steal it, then we have the rule of Kala Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Exela, as the Mara before said by Avadim, that if Avadim Kimitalta Zama Yer Potter, as the Mishnah says, Kala Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Exela. But if it was a daita d'agra, if you intended to pay rent, then you're chayv. But the main halacha is that if it was a daita d'gazanusa, since it's finas metaltalin, we say kol ha'gazlana mishal mekashas ekzela, while karka or avadim, if you hold avadim kimakarki dami, you would be chayv because reshuta demari kai, because karka ain't an exelus. Now, the Gemara presents a dichotomy of a daita d'gazanusa, the person intended to steal it, and a daita d'agra, he intended to pay rent. What if he intended neither? He intended to use it shaloka din and not pay for it, but give it back. He wasn't planning on stealing it permanently. He'd return it as soon as he was finished. He also wasn't planning on paying rent. Which is that? Is that called a daita de gazlanusa, or is that called a daita de agra? So, a couple of the Rishonim, the Ravid and the Ramah, both say explicitly that has the din of a daita de gazlanusa. The Ravid himself, for various reasons, he gives specific argument based on the text of the Gemara, says that the Gemara itself is actually talking about, when it says that Daita de Gazanusa, the Gemara means, but that earlier in the Gemara, it's not talking about Daita de Gazanusa, it's talking about Vitara She'ela, and nevertheless, it still has the din of Daita de Gazanusa, that Kolomatal to Mashalim Kishasek Zela, and that he's off the hook, even though it was Nachisla Vitara She'ela. The same thing, a ruling of the Ramah, brought in the Shita. The Ramah says that when the Gemara says, Daita de Gazanusa, you're potter because Kala Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Ekzela, Hu Adin Batara She'ela. The same halacha applies if he took it intending to return it, to give it back. Because Nihi Nami, Shal Shlomi Das Gazlan, Hitaka has the din of a Gazlan. Hakaimlan again, Kala Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Ekzela. So the Rav and the Ramah say explicitly that someone who takes someone else's property, even though he does not intend to steal it permanently, as long as he does not intend to pay rent for it, he has the din of a Gazlan. For our purposes, in this context, and the rule of Kala Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Ekzela applies, and he is not responsible for the rent, again, sort of Chote Niska. There are Acharonim who disagree. The Shulta Gibarim in Bava Kama and the Sma both argue, they're coming to explain a difficult riff, they both argue that the riff who implies that even though Avdu Kemetaltli Dami, he still is responsible for the revenue, for the profit, even though the Gemara clearly seems to indicate that metaltalin, we apply the rule of Kol Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Ekzela. So the Shulta Gibarim and the Sma both say that the Rif is talking about a case where he did not mean to steal the Eved, he simply meant to use it and return it. And in such a case, we do not apply the rule of Kol Gazlana Mashal Mekashas Ekzela, because it's not really Ekzela, and therefore he is responsible to pay for the profit he realized, at least in the case where it was Kaimalagra, where he was Mavatil it from its work. But he will be chayav, and the rule of Mashal Mekashas Ekzela does not apply to someone who did not intend to steal the property outright. Many, perhaps most other Acharonim, however, sharply reject this, the Pulpul Chariftov, the Tosis Yontif, the Shach, the Truma Sakri. They all say this is absolutely not true. The Truma Sakri mentions the Rishonim, the Ravid. They all say that no, as long as it wasn't a Daita de Agra, as long as he wasn't planning on renting it, as long as he was taking it improperly, without permission, without any intention to pay for it, he has the din of a gazlan for this in this context, and the rule of kol gazlan mishal mikashas gzela applies, and he is not responsible to pay for any profit, for any revenue that he generates. So this Gemara is talking about the gazlan himself who used the property that he stole. What's the halacha of a lokach megazlan, someone who purchased his stolen property in good faith, he didn't even know it was stolen, and he used it, and he profited from it, and then the nigzal, the victim, turned up and retrieved his property. Does he have a claim against the purchaser who purchased in good faith for the profit that he realized using what turned out to be stolen property? So this discussion revolves around a Gemara in Bava Kamma in the context of a shar tam. A shar tam is mishalem migufo. The animal, the mazik itself, that perpetrated the tort, is liable to be seized by the victim in compensation. So the Gemara brings a famous machlokes to Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, whether we say Yushem Ashar, that's Rabbi Shmuel Shita, or Hochlan Ashar. Rabbi Akiva Shita is l'mafreya, the Shar, or half the Shar, Chati Nezek, becomes retroactively the property of the victim. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, it belongs to the mazik until Beis Din seizes it as payment. What is the nafkamina? So one nafkamina the Gemara gives is if the mazik sells the shar. The Gemara has a bit of a pilpul about this. The Gemara concludes that it is macher l'radya. That according to Rabbi Yishmael, it is macher l'radya. It is sold for purposes of harisha. Rashi explains, what does that mean? That according to Rabbi Yishmael, since it is the mazik shar, and the nizik has no share in it until Beis Din gives it to him, therefore, im charash b'halakeach, if the mazik, the one who originally owned the shar, if he sold it, and the lokeach used it to plow, eina notin dmei harisha l'nizik. He's not responsible for the value of the harisha to pay back to the victim, who eventually seizes the shar, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, yushem ha-shar, it's not the nizik until Beis Din gives it to him. Post k'morom adai from Rashi, that according to Rashi's interpretation of the sugya, according to Rabbi Akiva that holds huchlan ha-shar, that the shar retroactively belongs to the mazik, then it's not Marchal Aradia, and that the person who bought the shar and used it from the mazik must give the value of the harisha, the value of his benefit, to the nizik, because l'mafreya was his shar. So essentially, according to Rabbi Akiva, he bought a shar that turned out to be stolen, that turned out not to be the mazik. The mazik essentially stole the shar and sold it to him. It really was not the mazik shar anymore. So according to the way Rashi understands the sugya, Rabbi Shmuel holds that a person who buys property from a gazlan must pay for the use that he had to the original owner when he turns up. Rashi's sound of the sugya is followed by a number of other rishonim. The Raiva is in the Kedushin to Bava Kamma. The Torah paskins this way. Torah says, "A machra mazik ain't a machra, but nizik notzlam in a lakach. Afilu in the shtamish ba lakach. Kadam shenatzol tark l'shalim lo." The Torah says, "We paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore the lakach must pay the nizik, who's really the owner of the shar, for any value that he had." Bishmal, of course, doesn't disagree in principle. He just says that he owed Yushim HaShar. But according to the Shita of Rashi, the Raivan and the Tur, it seems to come out that a Mazik who sells a Shar, and presumably any other Gazlan who steals property and sells property that didn't belong to him, the person who bought the property from the Gazlan or the Mazik will be liable to the real owner for any benefit that he had. The Rashba, though, disagrees. The Rashba says he doesn't agree with this whole idea. He says, how can Rashi and the Ravid say that the person who bought from the Gazlan is liable to the true owner of the property? What happened to our din of Kol HaGazlan Mishal Mikashas Gzela? The Gazlan himself is not responsible for any benefit he derives from the stolen property. And Lokach MiGazlan, Ki Gazlan Zasi Minei Dami. The person who bought the property from the Gazlan has the same din. So he also should not be chayav for any benefit derived from stolen property. And the Rashba, therefore, is a different pshat on the sugya. Machne Ephraim, in Hilchos Gzela, generalizes this machlokas. This machlokas is a fairly obscure din in Hilchos Shar Tam. But the Machne Ephraim says, this machlokas is relevant to anyone who steals a keli and sells it, and the buyer uses the keli. So as long as the lokeach bought in good faith, it's a machlokas between these Rishonim, he says. He brings the Tur, Rashi, and the Raivan on the one hand say that he is chayev, that the purchaser must pay the true owner who turns up for any value that he derived from the property. But the Rashba disagrees. And Nira Midvara from the Rashbi says that he holds Lekech Migazlan, even though he's in good faith, is not chayav to pay. He has his din of a Gazlan. Even though he was a tnimistic person, he bought in good faith, he had no intention, chas b'shalom, of doing anything wrong. Nevertheless, since it turns out the property was stolen, as the Rashba said, Lekech Migazlan, kegazlan zazim minei dami. He has the same din as a Gazlan, even though he himself didn't dream of committing Zela. And therefore, the rule of Kol Gazlanin applies even to the purchaser in good faith from a Gazlan. The Meiri tries to defend the Shita of Rashi, the Ravid, the Torah, and tries to explain why the Rashba's rule of Kol Gazlanin Mashal Mekashas Gzela does not apply. The Meiri says that, no, a Gazlan is someone who deliberately steals. However, he says, Zu Mekach Tosu. From the perspective of the Lekach, the one who purchased the stolen property, it's a Mekach Tos, Vahadar Tara, Vahadar Agra, and therefore he has to pay. He doesn't really explain conceptually why he doesn't agree with the Rashba that the Lekach Migazlan is like the Gazlan, but he just says, tersely, on the contrary, this case is like Mekach Tos, and therefore he owes Schar. This is a very important point, which we shall return to later in a discussion of Mekach Tos, how the rule of Kol Gazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzela applies to a buyer who used the object and only later realized it was Mekach Tos and returns it to the seller for a refund. This whole discussion of the Rashba, the Ravid, Rashi, the Tur, the Meiri, the Machne Ephraim, this is all concerning someone who purchased something from a Gazlan. What about someone who rented something from a Gazlan? The Gazlan rented out the property that he stole. The tenant agrees to pay, already did pay, agrees to pay, and then the real owner turns up and takes the property back. Who gets the rental fee? Is the seller obligated to pay rent to the Nigzal? He's certainly not obligated to pay rent to the Gazlan. It wasn't his property. Does he owe rent to the true owner? Or do we say, no, Kol Gazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzela? So this discussion revolves around a ruling of the Ramah, Rameir Halevi Abulafia. The Ramah says that the rule of Kol Gazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzela does not apply, and the Socher owes the rent to the true owner when he turns up. The Ramah's ruling is brought briefly by the Tur in Hilchos Gzela. The full text of the Ramah, or a fuller version, is found in the Shita Mekubetzes from the Sefer of the Ramah, which is not extant, where the Ramah explains his Shita at some length. The Ramah brings a raya to his din, explanation for his din, a source for his din. He brings a memory of Rav Chista, that a person who was gazal on the Yahshua Ba'alim, a gazlan, someone who steals, and we're still before Yeish, the owner hasn't given up hope yet, someone else then comes and consumes, destroys the property. The halacha is, ratzimizegova. The owner of the property is allowed to press a claim against either the initial gazlan or the person who subsequently ate the property, because either one of them is considered to have perpetrated a tort against him, and he can press a claim against either one. Says the Ramah, here too, this person stole his property, subsequently rented it out, and that person consumed, used, the Karen may still be around, but he used, he derived benefit, Bigzela, he had no permission from the owner. So we have two Gazlanim. So either one is liable to the owner. The owner has the right to go after either one for the use of the object, so he has the right to tell the Socher, you owe me the rent. Aye, the Ramah continues, what happened to the rule of calling Gazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzela? So the Ramah says it doesn't apply. Hani Mila B'Shvach Shal Gab Gzela, that's talking about the other examples we saw in the Mishnah, where there's Gizo or Vlados, where the item itself generated Shvach, and it's still around in the object itself, or Zacha Bein Nigzal. That Shvach, the Nigzal, is not entitled to. Elika Shivcha Gazla Mamela Rishus Gazlan Commander Shakli Hasmershus Bailam Domik Zelachina Bad Benafshahi. So the what the Ramah means is a little bit tricky, but the Ramah says that the rule of Kol Gazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzela does not apply in this case, and because of Rav Chista's rule of Ratimizegova, the person who rented the property from the Gazlan is on the hook to the owner for the benefit that he derived. Now, as I mentioned, the Ramah's ruling, including this raya from Rav Chista's din of Ratimizegova, is the long version. The Torah brought a kedarko, an abbreviated version of this, and the poskim therefore had a great deal of difficulty. There's a great deal of controversy and discussion about what exactly the rationale of the Ramah's din is. The Beis Yosef cites the Chacham Hamarshim, a certain earlier scholar who said that the reason for the Ramah is because in Lokain, if you wouldn't hold the tenant, the person who rented from the Gazan liable, Nimtzel Afam, the Gazan Mistaker, then the Gazan would keep the rent. The Lachsamidus Adin, it's not fair, Zelo fair. The Chacham Marshim said, it simply wouldn't be fair not to require the tenant to pay the rent to the original owner. Beis Yosef is not buying this. Beis Yosef says, no, it's a Pella. The Psakta and the Ramah is a Pella. The rule of Kol HaKadosh Mashalman Kishasek Zela should apply. Again, he didn't see the Ramah who himself addressed this question. What the Ramah means is a tricky question. We're not going to get into it, but Beis Yosef didn't know the Ramah addressed it at all. And he just said, why shouldn't the rule of Kol HaKadosh Mashalman Kishasek Zela apply? Additionally, the Beis Yosef said, Lachta Midas Adin, the Chacham Marshim says that the Ramah's reason is because Zelo fair. Not true, the Beis Yosef says, Eina Taina, Halacha doesn't have to be fair in this area. Hadifa Minashkan Shmach Zelo the Gazan Havi. The whole din that the Gazan keeps the Shmach, he keeps the Vlad, he keeps the Giza, that's also not fair. And Chazal had no problem with that, he says. He can't come with a Taina of Zelo fair. The Halachas of Zelo are not always fair. Sometimes the Gazlan benefits. And that's it. So the Beis Yosef indeed doesn't understand the Ramah. He didn't see the full version of the Ramah. He rejects the Ramah. And indeed, in Shulchan Aruch, he does not bring this ruling of the Ramah. The Darkei Moshe thinks the Ramah makes a lot of sense. He says, Ein b'chol dvarav shekatav taina klal. Nothing the Beis Yosef said is persuasive. Regarding the basic question of why, what happened to Kol HaGezlon Meshalman Kishasek Zela, what is the basic rationale of the Ramah? So again, the Darkei Moshe presumably did not see what the Ramah himself said. He didn't see the reference to Rav Chista of Ratzimizegova. He didn't see the Ramah's explanation for why the rule of Kol HaGezlon Meshalman Kishasek Zela doesn't apply. So the Darkei Moshe came along and offered his own explanation. The Darkei Moshe referred to a Gemara in Bava Metzia. There's a rule called Ein Hala Osa Tzchara Paratu Shel Chavero. A person cannot benefit from someone else's property. The Gemara talks about a case, the Mishnah talks about a case where the owner of a behema rented it to a socher. The socher lent it to somebody else. The behema then suffered an onus. So the socher himself is not liable because socherim are not liable for onsim. The second borrower, the second person who took the animal into custody is a shoel. He is chayav onsim, so the halacha should be that he pays the first shomer, and the first shomer pockets it and doesn't pay the value to the owner. So that's machlokas in the Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yotzi Shita. The Chum say, that's not fair. It's not fair for the middleman to turn a profit off the animal of the owner. So instead, the shoel who is chayav b'onsim has to pay the value of the animal all the way back to the owner, and it bypasses the middle guy. So this is sort of a zelo fair argument. Ein ala osa tzchara prasa shel chavero. So here too, the Darkei Moshe said that is the rationale of the Ramah that it's not fair for the Gazlan to be Otis Chara Prasa Shel Chavero. It's not fair for him to keep the rent and not turn the rent over to the owner. I guess that would have been the Havamin, if not for the Ramah's Din. So instead, the tenant has to pay the value of the para, the value of the property that he rented, back to the original owner. The Divrei Chaim, not the Sanzer of the Rav Orbach, in the Sefer Divrei Chaim on the Rambam, says that we have two different reasons for this din now. We have the Ramah's own reason as brought in the Shittim Kubetzes, that the reason is Ratzimizegova, and we have the Darkei Moshe's din, Darkei Moshe's rule, that basically it's not fair, similar to the Chacham Amashim, that he can't do Schara Prasas Shel Chavero. So Dibrei Chaim gives a couple of nafkaminas between these two reasons. One nafkamina he gives is if the Gazlan, instead of renting the property to someone else, he lends it to someone, he lets somebody use it for free, without any arrangement of rent. So according to the reason of Ratzimizegova, that reason still applies. Since even if the person who used it with permission of the Gazlan didn't pay the Gazlan anything, he still would have a din of a Gazlan vis-a-vis the true owner. So the din of Ratzimizegova would still apply. But the other reason, the Ramah's reason, of Ketzlos, Tzara Prasa Shel Chavero, does not apply. Because since there's no rent involved at all, he never agreed to pay rent, there was never any assumption by anyone he would pay rent, nobody is doing any Tzara Prasa Shel Chavero, so according to Darkei Moshe's reason, he would not be responsible to pay anything to the true owner. While according to the Ramah's actual reason, it's reporting to the Shita, he would, because Rav Chista's din of Ratzimizegova applies. So far we have two explanations of the Ramah, either the Ramah's own reason as reported in the Shita of Ratzimizegova, or the reason of the Darkei Moshe and the Chacham Amashim, it's not fair and you can't do Tzarev Paratu Shel Chaveiro. A third reason is proposed by the Sma. The Sma says that even though we've been discussing throughout this lecture the rule of Kol HaGazon Mashal Mekashas Gzeila, the Sma and the Prisha at greater lengths understood that at least in this case, as we pointed out, this case which is actually a Kula for the Gazlan, that's not really a Din D'Oraisa, the Sma says. That's a Takanas Chazal of Takanas HaShavim. We find in certain places in Shas, Chazal were makil that a Gazlan is not going to be held responsible for the full obligation that his deeds would normally require him to make restitution for, because Takanas HaShavim, if we insist on forcing too much from him, he'll give up and he won't bother doing tshuva. So Chazal had an interest in making it easier and more manageable for a Gazlan to do tshuva. So the Sma understands that this din, that a Gazlan is not responsible to pay for any value, for any benefit he derived from stolen property, even though the Gemara calls that, the Gemara says that falls under the rubric of Kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila, really it's the Takanas Chazal because it's the Takanas HaShavim. And with that foundation, with that assumption, the Sma says, that's Pshat of the Ramah. That's why the Ramah says that's only true as long as the Gazlan himself used the property. But as soon as the Gazlan did not use it, instead he rented it out to someone else, there's no Takanas HaShavim. Then we fall back on the Ikra Din. Since it's not the Gazlan who's being held responsible for anything, it's the guy he rented it to. The Gazlan is not going to be hurt, is not going to refrain from doing tshuva because we're going to tell his tenant to go pay money to the owner. Since there's no rationale to Takanas HaShavim, we revert to the Ikra Din that the owner is entitled to any benefit derived from his property while it was in the possession of the thieves. And the truth is, there are other Akronim also, not necessarily in this context, but there are other Akronim also who say that when the Gemara says, Kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila, as a kula for the thief, the Gemara really means Takanas HaShavim. The Nesivos HaMishpat says this, in Siman Reish Tzadi Dalet, he says, that which a Gazlan gomer is kind of b'shvach malacha, that which a true Gazlan, as opposed to the case he's talking about over there, that which a true Gazlan may keep the shvach and not pay it back under certain circumstances to the owner, is Takanas HaShavim. And he actually says, Kumavur, but Siman Shin Tzal Kimmel, which is our Siman, with the Ramah and the other post Gemara. Shilta Gibar, and Baba Kam also, on that Sugya says, at least according to some Rishonim, that the reason the Gazlan can keep the Shvach is also the Takanas HaShavim. However, many other Achronim, the strong consensus of the Achronim, utterly reject this and says, no, the Gemara says, the rule, Kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila, Pshuto Kamashmo, it's Meikra Din, it's a fundamental rule in Hilchot Gzeila, nothing to do with the Takanas HaShavim. This is the position of the Divrei Mishpat, his son, the Divrei Chaim, the Truma Sakri, the Imrebina, the son of the Taras Chaim, the grandson of the Divrei Mishpat, and the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish says, Tema, lo matinu b'gemara. There's no explicit Gemara against this, but the Chazon Ish says, lo matinu b'gemara, shetiknu b'zeh. The Gemara simply says, kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila, as if it's a rule, Meikra Din. It's not at the Takanas Chazal. And he says, from the mere fact, the Gemara we began with, the Gemara said, they asked the Rav Nachman, so, how can you obligate the Gazlan to pay for the benefit that he had? So, Gzeilu, b'kadra b'ayna, d'tan, kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila, al madinahu. It's clear from the Gemara. The Gemara asked this question with such obviousness that clearly this is a rule, Mikra Din, and not some kind of takana that Chazal made. That's what the Truma Zakri says too. He says, Lama Tzatzik came to Divrei Rishonim. We don't find anywhere in the Rishonim, the earliest source seems to be the Shulta Gibarim, we don't find anywhere in the Rishonim this idea that a Gazlan being exempt from paying for the benefit he had is a takana. Well, Adai to Yudina Daraisa. It's a biblical din, Mikra din, v'heishos egzela shor gazal m'rachmano v'lo tzchar m'lachto. It's derived from Sukkim, he says. So Tzarech Iyun, where does the Sma, where does the Shulta Gibarim get this idea that Kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila is a Takanas Chazal because Takanas HaShavim? So we have, therefore, three explanations for the din of the Ramah, why the rule of Kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila does not apply when the Gazlan rented it out. Either because Zelo Fair, as the Chacham Marashim says, because Lachtami Desadin, as the Darkei Moshe says, he can't do Tzchara Prasa Shel Chavero, or because the reason the Shita Mekabetzis himself brings from the Ramah, because the Din of Ratmi Zegova applies, or the reason of the Sma of the Shulta Gibarim, the Sma says it particularly in this context, that the Kol HaGazlan Mashal Mekashas Gzeila is really only a Takanas Chazal, and it doesn't apply in this case. So now that we've seen the discussion, machlokes between the Rashi, the Ravid, the Rashba, the Tur, the Meiri, about a Gazlan who sells property, and the purchaser derive benefit from it in good faith. And now we have the opinion of the Rama, and the Beit Yosef, who disagrees, about a Gazlan who rents the property to a tenant in good faith, presumably. These two discussions sound very similar. It would seem that the Rama, who says that the rule of Kol Gazlan Mishalim L'Kashasek Zela does not apply to the tenant, may very well hold the same thing in the case of the Gazlan who sold the property to a purchaser. Just like the Rama says, certainly according to the reason given by the Shita, that the reason for the Rama is Ratzim Yizegova, Ratzim Yizegova, it certainly would seem that in the case where the Gazlan sold the property to a buyer, the same rule should apply. The Ratzim Yizegova, Ratzim Yizegova, and the buyer would have to pay for the value he had from the stolen property back to the original owner. And the Rama, therefore, would seem to hold like Rashi and the Raivan and the Tur, that the rule of Kol Gazlan Mishalim L'Kashasek Zela does not apply here, unlike the Rashbu says that it does. And indeed, various Akharim indeed suggest that the Rama would hold like Rashi. Truma Sakri says this, Rabbi Akiva Eiger said this in a letter to the Chasam Sofer, the Divrei Chaim says this. So they all say that we now have another support for Rashi. We have the Rama. Ad Kidei Kach, the Divrei Chaim asks, he says, the Machne Ephraim, who says that his case of someone who stole a kli and sold it to somebody else, does the buyer have to pay rent, have to pay for the value he had to the true owner when he turns up? Machne Ephraim said it was Machlokas, Rashba, and Rashi. Machne Ephraim should have pointed out that the Ramah holds like Rashi. The Ramah says, Ratzim Yizegova, Ratzim Yizegova, the din of Kol HaGazlan Mishalim L'Kashasek Zela only applies to the Gazlan itself. It does not apply to anyone who is a Bakoach, who obtains the object from the Ganav. And he assumes there's no difference between the Ganav who sells it and the Ganav who rents it. So therefore, the Ramah is yet another Rishon, Rashi, the Raivad, the Tur, the Meiri, and now the Ramah, all of whom disagree with the Rashba. Other Akronim, however, distinguish between the case of the Ramah, of a Gazlan who rented the object, and the case of the Rashba and Rashi, a Gazlan who sold the object. Chasam Sofer, responding to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, thought that this distinction is so obvious, he writes to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Lo Zechisi L'Havin. I don't even understand how you can compare the two dinim, he says. The Gemara, the case of the Rashba and Rashi about the Shartam, the case of the Rashba and Rashi where the Gazlan sold the property, the Gemara says, Machal Aradia, that's not Chirus, that's Mechira, he says. So there, that's where the Rashba held that Kol Gazlan Mishalim L'Kashasek Zela extends to the purchaser of the object from the Gazlan. The case of the Ramah, where it was only rental, then even the Rashba agrees that the tenant is still on the hook. The Chasam Sofer feels this chiluk again is extremely obvious and blatant. I'll call upon him Ein Rai L'Harav Beis Yosef, Ne Rashba Klal. The Rashba in no way contradicts the Ramah. The Rashba in no way can be seen as support for the Beis Yosef, who disagrees with the Ramah. The Chasam Sofer doesn't really explain why he thinks there's such a blatant difference between Schirus and Macher. As we pointed out, according to the reason of the Ramah, it sounds in the Shita that the reason is Ratzim Yizegova, Ratzim Yizegova. Certainly one could have applied the same rule to the case of a Gazlan who sold, as in the case of the Rashba. Nevertheless, the Chasam Sofer felt that the two cases are distinct. And later we shall mention the position of the Argadol, who also proposes such a distinction, but gives more of a Hesber. One other reason why the Ramah and the case of the Ramah of the Gazlan renting and the case of the Rashba and Rashi of the Gazlan selling may be different is the Shita of the Ksos. The Ksos actually argues that on the contrary, everyone agrees to the Rashba in general. Everyone agrees that in the case of a regular Gazlan who sold property, unlike the Machane Ephraim, who says that Machlokas Rashba and Rashi about Shartam, which is a fairly obscure case, can be generalized to any case of a Gazlan who sells the property, the Ksos says no. Everyone agrees in general to the Rashba that when a Gazlan sells property, the rule of Kol Gazlan Mishalim L'Kashasek Zela applies. And therefore everything would be a steward to the Ramah. He doesn't mention the Ramah. The Ksos says the only reason some Rishonim disagree with the Rashba is for a reason specific to the case of a Shartam. Since even according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that Yuchlad Ashar, that retroactively it turns out that the Shar never belonged to the Mazik anymore, that retroactively the Nizik acquired a part ownership from the Shar, we still can't say Kol Gazlan Mishalim L'Kashasek Zela, because you can't call the Mazik a Gazlan. Since Sof Kol Sof, there has to be a Hamadah Bedin, since it's Knast, and there has to be a Psak of Basin, even though once based in Paskins, it is retroactive, he says, but still, it's not possible, he says, to call the mazik a gazlan. He had the right to use it. He had permission to use it. There was nothing whatsoever wrong with what he did. So it's like karka, he says. Just like karka, where there's no teres gzela, there's no rule of kol gzela mishalmin kashas gzela, and the initial owner is still entitled to all revenue generated from the property, wherever it is. Kol echad yitzeh b'rishus yimari yiseh. So the Ksaris explains, that's what Rashi and other Rishonim held to. The reason, according to Rabbi Akiva, all the revenue goes back to the original owner is because we can't apply the rule of Kol Gezlan Meshalma Kishas Egzela, since even though Lamafreya was his, but Basher Husham, at the time the Mazik sold it, at the time the Lekech used it, it was Bedin Meshtamesh, Rashai Bekach, Ein Bataras Gzela. But in a real Gazlan who actually stole property and sold it, then everyone agrees to the Rashi, but the rule of Kol Gezlan Meshalma Kishas Egzela applies. And again, he doesn't deal with the Ramah, but according to him, Adrabba, even though up till now we've been saying the Rashba is something of a Das Yachid, because all the Rishonim disagree, the Raivad, the Tur, Rashi, the Meiri, the Ramah, the Ksos says, Pung Faker, the Rashba Shita is universally accepted, and he doesn't deal with the Ramah. So with all this background, these two cases of a Gazlan who sells and a Gazlan who rents, now we can finally turn to Mechachtos. What happens if someone purchases an item from someone else? He happily uses the item for a period of time, derives great benefit from it. Subsequently, he finds a mum. The halacha generally is that there is no statute of limitations on mum, as long as there was no mechila, either explicit or implicit. When he discovers the mum, he has the right to return it, and he may have used it for a long time. Is he liable to return to the owner the benefit that he had? Or look at it a different way. He's gonna return the object and get back his purchase price. Does he have to deduct from the purchase price? Can the seller deduct from the price that he returns the benefit that the buyer had all this time? Even if it had a mum, it's not a worthless object. He had some benefit from it. So, must the lekach pay for the benefit that he had? So this is not a Gemara anywhere. The first reference to this is a Rambam. The Rambam on his own wrote that a person sells karka, and the buyer ate the peiros of the karka, he derived benefit from the karka, and la'achar zman, after some time, he found a mum. So the Rambam rules, imrat la'achar karka la'bayel ha'machter kol ha'peiros ha'achal, the lekech choice, he has to make a calculation. He has the right, as with any other mum, to return the karka, but then he also has to pay for all the peiros. Imayachatzer v'darbo, if it was real estate, residential property, he was living there instead of eating peiros, tzarech la'alos l'schar, he has to pay rent. So obviously, you have to make a calculation whether it's worth it. If you live there long enough, the value of all the payros, the value of all the residents may be overwhelmingly larger than the value, the initial purchase price. So he has to decide what he wants to do. But if he wants to claim mechachtos, he has to pay for the payros. Now, there is an opinion in the Achronim that this is actually a ribbis obligation, nothing to do with chashon mishpat. The reason he has to pay for the payros is because otherwise it looks like ribbis, because essentially, 10 years ago, he gave the seller the purchase price of the house, $400,000, lived there for 10 years. Now he returns the house to the owner. The owner gives him back his $400,000. And in the meantime, he had lots of benefit from the house. So that's a shaila of ribbis. So some posts can learn that the halacha is based on ribbis, nothing to do with gzela or choshen mishpat or mechachtos. But many acharonim, most acharonim understand that this is actually a choshen mishpat din, that the buyer is obligated, Medina, because since he derived benefit from someone else's property, he's chayav to pay for it. Now, the Rambam brings this halacha in the context of karka, either a karka that was generating peiros, or a chater that he lived in. We don't know exactly where the Rambam got this from, but for whatever reason, the Rambam brought this halacha specifically in the context of karka. What about metaltalin? So the Rambam is not clear. The Shulchan Aruch 2 brings the Rambam verbatim, essentially, and doesn't say anything about metaltalin. So the question of what happens to metaltalin is a surprisingly obscure one. The major notes of Kalim in the mainstream, certainly in the Ashkenazic halachic tradition, don't really say anything about this. The first one to discuss this is the Shilta Gibarim, and he took for granted that the Rambam's din, that there's an obligation to pay for peiros, applies to metaltalin too. He says, according to this chiddush of the Rambam, so too, he says, hamocher sus l'chaveru. If someone sells a horse, the buyer derived some benefit from using the horse. Then he found a mum and wants to return the horse and get his money back. He has to pay for all the profit that he had. And even if he didn't generate actual revenue, he simply did his work. he ran errands or he commuted, he ran errands or he dropped his kids off from carpool or something, he has to pay the value of the use of the source that he had. Just like Kasher, if he lived there, even though he didn't generate revenue, but he lived there and that itself is objectively a benefit, he has to pay for that. The hair too. If he generated revenue, he has to pay for that. And if he used it, he has to pay for the value of the use. And the Shilta Gibarim doesn't entertain the possibility that there could be any distinction between Karka and Metalslin. The same thing in the Rashpash, the son of the Tashpash, or Shlomo ben Shimon Duran. He was asked about a beged, a garment, someone sold an item of clothing, Nimtza Ba'Mum. The basic question was, Im Yochel Achzirim Shmechatot Halo, is there a claim of Mechatot on garments? And the tshuva essentially is a nutshell, a survey of the basic rules of Mechatot. Under certain circumstances, of course, the buyer does have the right to return the property and get his money back. And after he discusses when the buyer has the right to press that claim, he says, but, Tzarech Litin L'Tzar L'Bishaso, in the cases where he has the right to claim Mechatot, he will have to pay the owner rent, the value of the use of the clothing. Just like the Rambam says about the guy who sold the house, and here too, he has doesn't have any idea that there could be any distinction between Karka and Metalsal. Rashbash adds actually another chiddush. He says, in a case where the lokach actually improved the object, he did some sewing and he improved its value, then he says he has the right to charge the seller for that benefit. If let's say the item was originally worth 75, he sold it for 100, but it turned out it had a mum, it was only worth 75, but in the meantime, the buyer put $10 worth of improvements into it, so he paid 100, so he gets the 100 back. He subtracts from the 100 any payros, any use that he had, but he adds back the improvement that he did. But the bottom line is, Rashbash's view is, that just as the Rambam says that when it comes to karka, the buyer is responsible to the seller for any benefit that he had in the event of a claim of mechaktos, the same thing applies to metalslin. So the Shilta Gibarim talked about a sus, the Rashbash talked about a beged, and the Ksonis Yosef of Yosef Verdugo out of Meknes, Morocco, also talked about a behema. He says if someone sells a behema and he found a mum, and he claims mechaktos, he has to pay shchirus hayam shasim b'malacha. He has to pay the shchirus, but he has the right, achar shinakim mizona shenasula. He also, similar to what Rashbash says, he has the right to subtract improvements that he made. So too, says the Ksonis Yosef, he has the right to subtract maintenance. He has to pay the animal, he has to feed the animal to keep it alive and to keep it operational. So we subtract that from the peiros, and at least if the peiros is a net positive, he then subtracts the net peiros from the amount that he paid and only gets that sum back from the mocher. So these three achronim all take for granted that the Rambam's rule obligating a claimant of mechaktos to pay for peiros applies to metalshalin too. On the other hand, we have a ritva. The ritva is actually talking about ona yoskim ishtos, which is also a form of mechaktos. So the ritva says that if the buyer used the property and then claims ona yoskim ishtos, then claims mechaktos. So the ritva says if he used it after he discovered the mum, then he has a whole discussion that may constitute mechila. He may forfeit the right to claim mechaktos if he kept on using it. But at least insofar as any usage occurred before he discovered the mum, the ritva rules. In Bav Metzia, tersely, in one line, Matash Mashiach Kodim Sheker Banaso Machaziro Kimo Shehu Dabrishus Ava. He returns it as is, because whatever he used, he had the right to use. So the Pashas of the Ritva is just coming to tell you Lafuke what he says in the next paragraph that it does not a mechila, because Brishus Ava. But the Or Gadol, Rabbi Yerucham Yehuda Leib of Minsk, understands that this Ritva implies that there is no obligation to pay for Peros. Machaziro Kimo Shehu, he says, means that he gives it back as is, he gets the full purchase price as is, not explicit in the ritva, that's how he understands the ritva, and the ritva would seem to disagree with the Rambam and say that there is no obligation to pay for peiros. The ritva itself would not be lahalacha, most of the poskim don't bring it, and the Shulchan Aruch is something like the Rambam, and everyone accepts the Rambam. But the question is there any way to reconcile the ritva with the Rambam? So the Or Gadol finally relates the questions we've been discussing to most of this lecture, the Ramaz din in the case of a Gazlan who rents the object, the Rashba and Rashi's din in the case of the Gazlan who sells the object, to the case of Mechaktos. Earlier we saw the Meiri. The Meiri defends Rashi that in the case of the Gazlan who sold the object, he says that Rashi is correct, the Rashba is wrong, there is no din of Kol Gazlan Mishal Mishashik Zela because it's like Mechaktos. But the question is Mechaktos itself. Why doesn't the same rule of Kol Gazlan Mishal Mishashik Zela apply to Mechachtos. Obviously, the guy who bought it and didn't realize it was a mum, he certainly acted in good faith, but so did the person who bought the property from the Gazel in the case of the Rashba. He also acted in good faith. So did the person who rented the property from the Ramah in the case, who rented the property from the Gazel in the case of the Ramah. He rented the property in good faith too. So all the cases we're dealing with in this lecture, except for the Gazel himself, all these other cases are cases where the person who derived benefit did so in good faith. Yet, the Rashba was very quick to say, so why shouldn't that apply in the case of the Rambam too? Why does the Rambam and the Sardik Akronim who all follow him, except for the Ritva, why do they all say that there's an obligation to pay payros, assuming that obligation is not because of ribbit, but because of Choshen Mishpat? Why? What happened to the rule of calling Gizlan Mishal Mikishas Akzela? So, the Ritva is talking about Metalshalin. The Ritva is talking in the context of Onah, and Onah primarily applies to Metalshalin. Certainly, the Din of Yosem Yishtos is limited to Metalshalin. And based on everything we've seen, one could certainly argue that the Rambam's din is limited to Karka, and the Ritva's talking about Metalshalin. Because as we've seen repeatedly throughout this lecture, there's a fundamental difference between Karka and Metalshalin. Metalshalin is an Igzalin, or an Igzalin, so the rule always is, Kol HaGizlan Mishal Mekashas Igzela. Karka is an Igzelis. And we say, Kol HaDisa Bereshusa Demari Isa, and therefore, the owner is always entitled to revenue. Metalshalin, which are an Igzalin, that's why the Rashba said, and the person who bought from the Gazel is off the hook. So certainly one could say that the Rashba and the Ritva are consistent. The Rashba specifically talks about karka that grows peros, a chater in which a person lived, and that's why he said that someone who claims mechachtos has to refund the peros, because there's no din of kol gazel mishal mekashas egzela, because it's karka. On the other hand, the Ritva is talking about metalshalin. So we said, Machdira Kamo Shahu, he's not Chayef of Paris, because the din of Kala Gazlan, Mashal Mekashas Egzela would apply. Ritva doesn't actually say that, but that could be what he means. This is, of course, against the Shitas of the Shulta Gibarim, the Rashbash, the Ksonis Yosef, who all took for granted that the Rambam's din applies even to Metalshalin. It didn't even occur to them that there could be any distinction between Karka and Metalshalin. So the Argadol proposes this distinction for the first time between Karka and Metalshalin. Based on the Rashba, he says. The Rashba says that someone who buys property from a Gazlan, the rule of Kol HaGazlan Mishal Mekashas Egzela applies. So too, anyone who claims Mechachtos essentially is a Gazlan himself, a Gazlan B'Shogeg, just like the person who bought from the Gazlan is a Gazlan B'Shogeg and still Kol HaGazlan Mishal Mekashas Egzela applies according to the Rashba. So too, a Mechachtos person, a buyer who claims Mechachtos himself is a Gazlan B'Shogeg. And the Rashba's din of Kol HaGazlan Mishal Mekashas Egzela would apply. Then, however, the Argadol brings the Ramah's din and mentions, as many other Akronim also do, can we reconcile the Ramah with the Rashba? If the Rashba said, Kol HaGazlan Mishal Mekashas Egzela applies in the case of someone who buys from a Gazlan, why shouldn't he apply the same rule in the case of the Ramah, someone who rented from a Gazlan? So he brings, as the Trumas Akri says, this is indeed a Machlokas. But he himself proposes a way to reconcile the Rashba and the Ramah. We mentioned earlier, Rabbi Akiva Eger indeed assumed that they were Tali Habaha, and assumed that the Ramah disagrees with the Rashba. The Chasam Sofer, though, wrote back to him and said, he didn't understand, why on earth are you comparing the two, he said. The Ramah is talking about renting, and the Rashba is talking about, someone who, the guy who sold the property. But the Chasam Sofer didn't explain what the difference was. So, the Ohr Gadol does have a distinction. He says, in the case of rental, it's true that in both cases, the renter, the buyer, neither one of them was actually a Gazlan. Both of them acted in good faith. Neither one of them is, technically speaking, literally Nachas Adaita of the Gazlan Nusa. On the other hand, he says, we can distinguish the Gemara contrast Adaita of the Gazlan Nusa and Adaita of the Lashalim Agra. So he says, if we understand that the key rule, is that the key criterion is Adaita of the Lashalim Agra, he says, then we can definitely distinguish between the case of the Ramah and the case of the Rashba. In the case of the Ramah, he says, the tenant, the person who rented from the Gazlan, was Nachas Adaita D'Agra. He did plan on paying rent. He didn't know it was stolen, but he planned on paying rent. In the case of the Rashba, where the item was sold, the buyer had no intention of paying rent. So he says it can be argued that the Ramah held, in his case, that's called Adaita D'Agra, because the tenant did plan on paying rent. Even though the Gazlan himself was not Adaita D'Agra, but the tenant from the Gazlan was a Daita D'Agra. That's why the Ramah says, Tolan Gadol Mishal Mekshat Gdil does not apply, because he was a tenant and he was Nachta Vat Tadagra. However, in the case of the Rashba, where the person bought from the Gazlan and he had no intention of paying rent, then the rule of Tolan Gadol Mishal Mekshat Gdil applies. So if so, he says, then it would come out that in the case of Nechachtos, that's similar to the case of the Rashba, not the case of the Ramah. The case of Nechachtos, the buyer certainly had no intention of paying rent. As far as he knew, he was buying the item outright. So that would be called the Dice of the Gazlan, and the Rashba's din would apply. And the Ramah's din would not apply. The Ramah's din would be limited to Karka, not like the Achronim that we saw, the Shulti Gibarim, the Rashbash, etc. Yosef. While the Rashba would agree to the din of the Ramah, because in his case, that was a Dice of the Lashalim Agra. And it comes out, says the Argadol, that it would come out, according to this, if someone took someone else's property, b'shogeg, he picked up someone else's coat and put it on and wore it for a week and had lots of benefit from it, according to this distinction, it would follow that is clearly not a daita de agra, and he would have the din of kol gazlan, mishal mekshat gzela. And even though he's a gazlan b'shogeg, that's just like the Rashba, that the person who bought from the gazlan has the din of a gazlan b'shogeg, and the din of kol gazlan, mishal mekshat gzela applies. He himself is not committed to this. He says, "Kol zelokasafti el lahar bichafsi b'tarchiin b'chol zel eisapnai." Then he saw the Truma Sakri. He says, "You saw that there is a dispute between the Rashba and the Ramah." So to summarize, we have three cases. The case of someone who buys in good faith from a gazlan seems to be a machloket between the Rashba on the one hand, who says kol gazlan mishal mekashas gzela, and many or most other Rishonim who say that the klal does not apply and that the buyer must pay rent to the true owner. We do have the ketosis. Everyone agrees to the Rashba, but most Achronim don't. In the general case, except for the case of Shar Tam, most Achronim agree to the Rashba, but the ketosis seems to be a Das Yachid. Then we have the case of the Ramah, of the Gazlan who rented the property to somebody else, where the Ramah, followed by the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, says that the din of Kol Gazlan Mekshal Mekshat Gzela does not apply for various reasons, either because Ratzimizegova, or because Zelofer, because Lachsami Desadin, because Einalos Tzchara Prasah Shel Chavero, or because the whole din of Kalagas London in this context, Mishamel Kishasik Zela, is the only Tekanas Hashavim. And the third case we discussed is Mechachtos, where the Rambam says that someone who claims Mechachtos must pay for Paris. The Rambam himself could be limited to Karta, where the din is fairly uncontroversial. A number of Achronim say the din applies even to Metaltalin. However, it is not entirely clear why the Shitas of the Rashba, or the Chalkim on the Ramah, why they should not apply to the case of Mechachtos, why we should not apply the klal of Kol Gazlan Mishal Mekashas Gzela to the buyer, who even though he certainly acted in good faith, but we see from the Beis Yosef, and we see from the Rashba, that at least in cases where there was a Ma'aseh Gzela, even if someone else was then acting in good faith, we still say Kol Gazlan Mishal Mekashas Gzela. Unless we say that's only where there was a real Ma'aseh Gzela on the part of the Gazlan, then even though the purchaser or the renter was acting in good faith, we still apply the rule of Kol Gazlan Mishal Mekashas Gzela, while in the case of Mechachtos, where there was no Gzela at all, perhaps then the rule of Kol Gazlan Mishal Mekashas Gzela simply cannot apply.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.